And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, August 4th, 2012. This is Season 6, Episode 12. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm RJ.
I'm Matt.
I'm Dennis.
Hey, Dennis! It's Dennis, who we haven't seen since January?
Very long February. Time.
Since WoW had 10 million subscribers.
Since I had 10 million more calories. He noticed that. He's like, what? Have you? Yep.
Yeah.
All right, tweets and emails is how we kick off the show. As usual, actually kick it off with some just prior discussion, but that's just how we do things. Sony Vita and handhelds are talked about per your tweets. Also, Star Wars going free-to-play. Thank you, Gersnort, for writing that in. We were going to get to it, but you guys, as usual, always direct the conversation. We go over that, Star Wars going free-to-play and how it benefits everyone except for BioWare and EA. That will lead into a lot of conversation on WoW about their subscriptions and the reactions of how things are going with WoW, Activision, Blizzard, Vivendi, all that sort of thing. That leads us into PlanetSide 2 and the AMA interview that John Smedley did.
Head of SOE.
Yeah, he's the head of SOE. He did on Reddit. DayZ thoughts, we talk about those, even though none of us have played it. Final Fantasy XIV Reborn expectations are discussed, at least on Dennis's side of things. Sleeping Dogs is brought up, which leads us into Just Cause 2 and the multiplayer mod. Carmack at QuakeCon, Doom 4 being announced as well. And then we go into a little bit of what we're playing in this episode. So if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can. It is everyone at ingamechat.net, or you can hit us up on Twitter at ingamechat, or you can... find us on Steam, on Xbox Live, on PlayStation. You can find us all over the place. And if you'd like to find out how, you go to colonyofgamers.com. We have a forum there and a sticky thread that you can get in touch with us. Also, the forums, you can write to us and let us know how you like shows and respond to certain things that we talk about in the show if you're listening to the podcast. And yeah, those are all the ways you can get in touch with us. So please, thanks for listening and enjoy the show. Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, it got you here. Yeah. We don't have much in the way of tweets. These will really start the conversation off.
You're recording, yeah?
Pretty quick, yeah.
Okay.
I started around the Dave and Buster's talk.
Okay.
So, just because we'd gone off topic of everything else, and I thought, no, this is good shit. I should probably be recording
this. Yeah, that's fine.
So, yeah, we are. This is going to start pretty quick. I won't get to the one that'll get us started, though. I'll get to BK Smith's tweet. He says, "Hey, guys, listening to the latest show, Season 6, Episode 10, I have to say, don't overlook the Vita. It's a true portable console on par with the PS3. I am not overlooking the Vita. I am planning to get the Assassin's Creed thing, the one that comes out in October.
The one that comes with the...
with that game.
The special version of the Vita and the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm planning on trading in my old PSP and its games.
You'll probably want that back.
Yeah, I will when I need to do that. And I'm planning on trading in my DSi as well.
Do you have a DSi?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bought your 3DS.
Because I wanted those 10 games.
Because of the... You used that sort of hokey life hack trick.
Yes.
At Best Buy.
Yeah, you went to Best Buy and... What was it? What'd you do? Oh, no, I bought a brand new one before the cutoff date.
Right. They hadn't lowered the price?
No, they hadn't lowered the price yet. I took it back after they lowered the price and said, hey, it's only been 3 days or the day before or whatever that you lowered the price. Can you please match it? And they gave me the credit on the lowered price.
Nice.
So
your timing was very good.
Yeah.
Well, you're still going to hold on to that, yes?
I'm still holding on to that, yes. I'm holding on to the 3DS, but I'm trading in my DSi. I'm trading in my old PSP to get a Vita.
Are you going to get the Uncharted? On the Vita?
I'm sure I will.
Yeah. I'm just curious. I mean, like, if you do, I'll
I had completely really forgotten about that, actually, because I was more excited to be playing, well, the Assassin's Creed thing that comes out with that, but also the pinball set that's on there, plus there's a couple other games, I think. I saw a ton on the show floor at E3.
What's the current cost of a Vita?
$250? I don't know that they're doing the bundles anymore. I think they still have the bundles available, the 3G, but I don't think they're producing the 3G versions anymore. I think they're just sticking with Wi-Fi models. But I could be completely wrong. I don't want the 3G version anyway. But I think it's $250. I think that's what it costs. Plus, I got extra income coming in from doing this shit at work, which is completely unexpected income, so...
Okay.
It's nice to have and be able to just say, hey, I'm going to get this. So, I'm not overlooking it at all, and I'm not sure what we said that may have given that...
Oh, I have no doubt that we gave the impression that we were dismissing it. Not as a piece of hardware. I think every one of us has a boner for the technology.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the battery life aside. I just think it's, well, the time and the moment, you know, this the shining moment of handhelds and just being obsessive about handhelds, it's not, we're not all reacting to it the way we reacted to it 4 or 5 years ago with the DS or the DSi or anything like that.
We're, right, and I've gone through 2 or 3, if you want to count the 3DS. I went through the PSP, the DS, and then the 3DS. And the PSP got very little... It was exciting at first, and then I didn't do a damn thing with it. Mm-hmm. And then the DS, I was like, hey, new Super Mario Brothers, great game, and damn near didn't buy anything else after that. So I'd already been burned twice on the thought that this is a great little system, I'll enjoy it, and then buying it and not doing anything with it.
Well, so, you burned yourself. I mean, and I think all of us have to some degree with the handhelds.
Right.
Is you buy it because you recognize that it's great in at least some way, but it doesn't, let's be honest, it just doesn't, we're not handheld gamers. It doesn't fit into the way that we play games and the way that we interact with our devices. Maybe some of you more than others.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm
you're more so. At least at some point in time in the recent past, Ramsey was the same way. Like before he built another PC, it was a way that he could be playing games but be with his family and stuff like that. I
use mine for travel, but you know, when I'm not traveling, then what do you
it's
do?
Of no use to you.
And I sit in the pop box 10 hours a week, so.
Which is excellent. If I still worked backstage,
yeah.
If I was still in the production side of theater, I absolutely would spend a lot of my time with the DS or something. But
you know, you also have a choice now. You don't. It's not just do I get Nintendo or Sony. Do I sit down and play a game on my phone?
Do I play a game on my phone? Do I buy myself a tablet? Mm-hmm. You know, if I ever committed to again like the Nexus or something like that, then that's another thing that you could play with. There are an awful lot of options. Yeah. It has more to do with... It's more of a lifestyle choice than a judgment of the hardware.
Craig JJE sends a quick one and says, "Oi, where's that mid-July episode you recorded? It is coming. By the time you hear this one, you'll have already gotten that one." And that's pretty much it. The only other tweet we got here was... Well, we got Nabokov, who sent us a link to... let's see. Oh God, a Silent Max twin block HSF passively cools 100 watt CPUs. It is a monster of a cooler. It is
too. What the hell?
It is too ridiculous. Come on, specifications, man. Just horrible.
Really?
All right.
Where's the flux capacitor?
No. Maybe Nab has a really good answer for this. Show me the cooler again. That's look. There's something. Here's the thing to note about that cooler. That's air.
Oh, yeah?
That's air cooling, okay? That's insane fucking intergalactic air cooling. I have to believe that there's a much lower threshold for you to cross where you just jump straight to a water block, you know, a radiator and a water system, a liquid-cooled system. That's got to be either a piece of art, like a sculpture, or...
Yeah, yeah. It weighs in just over 3 pounds.
Is that like the hardware section of like the Onion?
Yeah, really.
I mean, because I run a Hyper 212 on my system, you know, and it's like even that's just sort of like a giant mini tower of fins and fans, and certainly not great for over aggressive overclocking, which. Is something I don't do. But then again, I have to put myself in the mindset of someone who does. Someone who really... It's a real tuner, you know? I'm sure that's perfectly rational.
As much as you guys used to joke on my laptop, you know, sighing all the time, the fan on my old desktop, I mean, the thing sounded like a Harrier taking off.
Well, let me also be fair to what's really happening with these things. All of that... You have a case full of fans that are little 80 millimeter... things, like trying to blow air around, it's going to be very loud. The bigger you get and the more serious you get, the more likely you are to be stacking 120s at a minimum, or 140s more likely. So you're going to have a giant case, because that's where the tuners have all... They're still operating in the realm of the laughably spacious full tower because of stuff like that, specifically because of airflow. With a huge tower, spectacular cable management, which is what all performance cases are designed around now, the computer itself will look barren and sparse and relatively empty because it's so big and because cable management is such a serious issue now. You can have an enormous amount of air moving through your case with much less movement and much less noise. There are a lot of really great case fans and push-pull configurations for radiators like that. There's a lot of really good stuff you can do that's going to double, triple, quadruple your actual cooling while cutting your noise by an absurd amount. A lot of what we consider to be like noisy, whiny, shitty cooling options are because they're wee tiny little fans, you know,
going super
spinning
high
at insane RPMs.
Yeah.
When overall you're much better with a larger fan at a lower RPM. Better cooling, better CFM, lower noise. All the way around, it's a better deal. I'm not in that place.
Yeah.
I don't participate there. I am, and probably always will be, your bang for buck type of guy. But I feel that it's kind of important that if you care at all, you still have to pay attention to what people like that are doing, because they sort of define the hobby, and they define the enthusiast stuff a little bit, even though I'll never have their stuff. And I'm actually okay with that.
Dave sent me a text. He's watching us on his iPhone while he is visiting in Austin. So, hey, Dave. Next tweet, our final tweets come from Gersnort, who sends us a link and says, well, that didn't take long, but they're doing it in the most stupid way possible. He is referring, of course, to Star Wars going free-to-play.
Oh, okay, we're going to do that straight away then, aren't we?
Right. Well, that's the last tweet we got, and then it's on the emails, but he brought it up, and I thought that was right into the discussion.
I don't know where the rest of you are on this. You have played the game.
Oh, obviously.
You went all the way to 50?
All the way to 50 on Republic side and was working my way on the
Empire side. I did the same thing.
I might actually not be able to, you know, like, finish it, because I just got tired of paying for it.
Well, I never paid for it.
You used your free month?
I was done, but by the time my third week had ended, and I was very excited about it. I took a few days off work to play at launch. Yes. By week three, I had already done everything I could do on my smuggler, on my alliance character, and I was working my way up on my bounty hunter, on the Sith side, and I just was like, nah, I'm done, thank you very much, maybe when you finish your game and add in all of the things that should have been there at launch, I will come back, but I was never actually counted as a subscriber, because I never played beyond my initial month. Let me tell you how you're going to win in this deal. No, let me first tell you that I was obviously very wrong. I was always dubious that they would go free-to-play. I recognized pretty quickly, like, at launch, that, yeah, this will probably go that way because the whole industry is moving that way. I really didn't predict that the whole thing would move this direction so quickly. And I did not think, I absolutely did not believe that EA would do this within the game's first year, because EA are stubborn, supernaturally stubborn, and they're self-righteous, and much like other large and unwieldy and overall fairly stupid big companies like Microsoft and Activision, they have a problem with, they don't want to alter their own vision. They have their ideas and their edicts, and they don't want to say, well, this is an idea from outside of the company, we're going to change our behavior and adopt a more mainstream template. You can see that in how EA has created Origin, which is a clear and obvious response to what almost everyone else was doing in digital delivery, but claim that they're the only people doing it right. You know? They actually want to try to convince you about the ways that Steam is doing everything wrong and how they're doing it right. And their argument is silly. And it's that same silliness and bullheaded, thick-skulled, self-righteous garbage that made me believe they would never chase the free-to-play model. But I was wrong. And everyone who said they would do it was right. I'm going to say that they weren't right for the right reasons. It's obvious why they did it. Because they had a catastrophic number of subs lost in the first 3 months. And their stock dropped precipitously. They've suffered a frankly pretty terrifying stock loss over the last half year. That didn't even start. That loss, that deviation, didn't start until right at the release of the game. So all of the predictions about it going free-to-play were correct, and I think they were intuitive predictions. But I don't think it was obvious exactly why.
Yeah.
But regardless, I never thought they would do it this soon, so I was clearly very wrong that that would happen. I mean, they announced that they were considering it, 6 weeks ago, maybe? Mm-hmm. Is that what it was? But to say that they're actually going to have it done by this fall, inside of its first year, is a big deal. Having said that, they may have been able to do this and cover some of their losses, because, you know, they're tremendous losses, hundreds of millions of dollars spent acquiring BioWare and developing this game. Even further money spent in the fact that they've had to keep their live teams and development teams focused on bringing the game up to par. It took them 6 months with barely any real aggressive movement on content to get them to where they absolutely should have been day one. And I'm not talking about bugs. I'm very forgiving about buggy gameplay. I'm fairly forgiving about access and server troubles and stuff like that. I am not forgiving concerning fundamental basic content that was discussed to a nauseating extent during beta, during the year or more of closed beta, where they were informed specifically that these were crucial issues in the game that you need to be focusing on. They weren't doing it. And then they launched, and it became clear that, like so many other things, Age of Conan comes to mind. The batch of gameplay that the majority of people were allowed to play during the weekend betas and the special events and the invited portions of the beta, that first X number of levels was fairly engaging. But beyond that, everything that they had used as a hook in the first portion of the game evaporated. The early flashpoints were, well, they weren't exactly to my liking, they were fascinating. You know, personal story integrated into group content. It was very good. But every subsequent flashpoint that you played after that moved further and further away from that ideal and more toward everything you've ever done before. Just kill some trash, kill some bosses, kill some trash, kill some bosses. By the level 30 and 40 and 50 flashpoints, none of the innovative and interesting ideas or none of the even somewhat creative spin on the traditional ideas was present anymore. They were just
raid bosses.
It was just the same bullshit that you have in WoW. And by that point, you could look over at WoW stuff and be like, yeah, but now that you're doing the same thing that they're doing, they're much better at it than you are. They were missing fundamental features. They were not treating any one group of their subscribers fairly. They weren't tending to any one group. They were trying to serve too many different masters. Their PvP was atrociously small-minded. It was highly organized and had too many limitations. They never added any proper content to the end game, and their storylines, while fairly fun, I say you could go through at least two of them. One on the Alliance side, one on the Empire side, one on the whatever side.
Republic
side, thank you. There was too much shared story on either side, so doesn't matter. You could run through it twice, kind of get your picture of what KOTOR 3 is, because that's all this is, and be done with it. I'm not just trying to bitch about the game here. The point is to illustrate why you are going to get the best of this deal. Their decisions, and I don't know if you've read these details, the way they've chosen to monetize this thing under free-to-play
is
fucking idiotic. They are absolutely out of their goddamned minds. You're going to have access to all classes, all of the basic starter races. You're going to have access to all the 1 to 50 content. You can do all the story, all the personal story, all the faction story. You're going to have access to all of this stuff. Everywhere you want, you can get your mounts, you can get your gear, you can do all your stuff. You're going to have limited access, a certain number per week. Don't know exactly what that number is, but a certain number per week for flashpoints. And flashpoints are the little five-man, supposedly story mode-oriented dungeons. You're going to have, I believe, a very limited amount of access to organized PvP.
Yeah, the war zones.
You are going to have no access to the operations, which are the raids. You're going to miss some character customization features and probably an expanded version of the customization and itemization stuff. If you don't know, I will rank for you in general terms of give a shit where all the aspects of this game lie. Worst, most unimportant version of the game is the operations and the raids. Second worst, probably, is the PvP. Then you have the flashpoints, which are tighter, cleaner, more focused, more easily repeatable portions of both story and gameplay and itemization and gearing. And then the thing that comprises 98% of the reason to play the game and virtually all of what you've come for is the 1 to 50 character faction story. And that's the thing they're giving away. They're giving away the fucking store. They're giving everything away. Their operations are competent. They're competent, but they're not built in such a way as to be competitive with the raid game of almost anything else on the market. And that's what you're charging for? You're giving away the car and charging for the floor mats. No thanks. I'll do without the floor mats and drive off in my fucking swank automobile for free. They're giving away everything of any value in the game. That's fucking great. You go ahead and you do that. You continue to dig your hole, and that's fine, and let everyone in the world for free experience the story of the game they should have gotten Nights 3.
Yeah, because when you were listening off, it was like, okay, I get the game. And a limited number of flashpoints, which is the story bits. Why would I
do anything else? No, you wouldn't. You absolutely wouldn't.
Yeah, I didn't even raid in WoW. It's like, that's not important to me.
Right. And that's not where, like I've said, they've very clearly gone out of their way to front load, like so many other people have. So many other people who have treated beta as an advertisement front-loaded all of their special content, all of their best work is in the front of the store. It's in the front of the shop. Once you walk to the back racks, once you get to the higher levels, you begin to see how the game either... It doesn't break, necessarily, but it is a much less focused, much more repetitive thing. You're not living through your story. You're finding bits of your story hanging off of traditional hotkey-style MMO combat that, in all blunt honesty, does not live up to the combat in almost anything else on the market. It's squidgy, it has bad timing, it doesn't feel entirely right. Whether you like it or not, you are bound to pet-style combat because you are forced to play with a companion in almost every circumstance. And I'm sure that a lot of people don't really care, but when you compare it to the strict, and I do mean strict, the strict timing and gameplay of something like WoW, WoW is superior. It's superior to almost everything on the market, and that's really the one thing they have going for them. So, if you're going to commit to the idea of story-driven MMO gameplay, you really should have done that. But, and we all knew that that's the one element of the game they would never be able to deliver on in terms of expanded content. Because you've committed to the idea of voiceovers and deep personal story. And that becomes nearly impossible to maintain in a longer timeline. I did agree with that early on. I just thought that if their flashpoints and raids are very good, then they can at least follow a more traditional model of keeping those things moving through the game, and they haven't. So I certainly don't want them to change what they're doing, but I can't even begin to understand how they've decided that this is the way that we're going to make money off of this game. Maybe they've done some decent math, and they said, we have to move free-to-play so quickly, this needs to happen so fast that we don't have time to adjust the game to isolate the story stuff behind a paywall. That it's for them, it's just easier to isolate raids, flashpoints, and customization. That's got to be true. I believe it's true. But I will never pay you a dime. And I will go back. I will go back and finish my Bounty Hunter story. Why not? It was fun. You know? And I really liked that character. I was just not wanting to pay you $15 more to do it. So, and I'm missing, I mean, I know that I'm not capturing every detail, but that is the gist of it. And I haven't run across anyone who thinks that that's a particularly smart way of doing business.
Yeah, I just don't see that lasting them, that particular strategy. Something would has to change.
I think you're probably right. We'll see how it goes. We'll see if they maybe make changes between now and then, or
or drag money off some other EA project to keep it standing.
They're in really bad shape, and they're trying to do damage control now. They're trying to just get any kind of money they can out of it. Thing is, they're probably too late. They're probably too late. There's too many other worthy competitors on the market right now. And people are going to play it, certainly, but are they going to want to play it enough to spend money on the things you have for sale? I don't know. I don't think so.
Leekon says, another problem, because of all that story mode, they can pretty much never add another class to the game, not without an utterly monumental amount of voiceover, etc., and EA won't do that.
Yeah,
because it goes beyond just programming it in. It's getting all those actors.
You have to build the entire story.
Yeah.
To add a single class, a single new class, which, let's be fair, to add a single new class either means adding a new class to either side.
Or a third party.
Or doing what Blizzard actually did. And this does cheapen your shit a little bit, I think. You add classes that are shared. You know, you add the Death Knight, or you let the when you add a class, they already had classes that were shared, but you take something that used to be exclusive or could have been exclusive and just add it to both sides. For them, that's not how they've built their game. So just to add, let's say, the two classes, one per faction, for 1 to 50, would probably be a minor expansion, or at least a major content update's worth of content.
Do you think it'd be possible to add a third faction?
I think it's very unlikely when you've built an entire game around two factions to add a third. I think it'd be really, really difficult.
Yeah, then you would have to. Oh my god, the amount. I mean,
you'd have to add a third city. You'd have to add.
Right, you'd have to have a third up, but the amount of. Think about. Well, I don't know how much you played, but I know you played through it, but the entire time you're playing through the Republic, all they're doing is talking about the Empire. The entire time you're playing through the Empire, all they're doing is talking about the Republic. Never a mention of a third faction to be involved with this. And should there be a third faction, unless, I guess, maybe you pick an alien race that is discussed.
Or like some weird splinter group.
But the only fiction isn't the problem. It's the mechanical nature of building that story.
Right. Through the Empire and Republic side, there would be no mention of this third faction.
Yeah.
And the third faction would have to either talk about wherever they're aligned. I have no idea, but it would have to be there. But you would never get any mention of this third faction. They would never somehow be included into what's going on in the story, because everybody's story, that I can tell, on the Republic side involves the Empire being nasty assholes. Everybody's story on the Empire side involves the Republic being nasty assholes. So it's, yeah, it's a good versus evil, and there is no third player in that game.
Every time they expand their content, they have to be aware of what every individual story is doing. Even if they make a simple change, it has to incorporate what everyone has done to a lesser or greater degree. To a greater degree, two individual faction stories. To a lesser degree, eight individual stories.
They could have their own individual permutations as well.
Yes, yeah. Or you could ignore those permutations and funnel every story down the same path, which is much more convenient, makes development much simpler,
yeah.
Makes it much more likely it will happen in the first place, but sort of ruins the entire idea.
Yeah, it makes it for a lazy experience.
Despite how bad EA may have done at the development and management of this game, and I don't know how much blame you want to lay at EA, or where you think BioWare themselves should accept responsibility. I suppose this is determined entirely by your where you are on the fan spectrum. But management aside, this concept, this idea was never going to develop further, even if it was successful. They were never really going to be able to develop it in the same way that other MMOs can. They're not lightweight enough. But yeah, it truly, I'm a little bit flabbergasted by how quick this move is being made. And not even that it is being made, but that it's being made so soon. And that the way they're whatever. We win.
Yeah.
Anybody who chooses to spend the time and bandwidth downloading it and playing it wins.
Yeah.
It's basically a free game.
Yep.
Free game, since you can go through the whole thing. Leakon says that numbers-wise, they said they'd be a WoW killer, but recent investor calls showed they are under 1 million subscriptions. WoW's investor call said they were down to 9.1 million subs.
Oh, well, that's a natural next step to take. There are, without a doubt, I know there are guys listening to us right now. I know you hate it when WoW gets mentioned. It's almost every episode for some reason, but it's what it is. And less for any reason, like less for any of its own merits, more for just the fact that it's so massive that anytime something happens to it, it sends waves through everything.
And I mean, it's been doing it
this November will be 8 years.
That's no small feat in of itself.
No, the problem here is that they've gone down another million subs in a quarter. They're not down a million subs from the height. They're down 3 million subs from their height. All of that loss, every last ounce of that loss, has happened in the last year and a half since the release of Cataclysm. Prior to that, most of their growth happened with Burning Crusade, and during it, the rest of the growth happened with Lich King. And it tapered off with Lich King because they kind of reached a saturation point. Cataclysm came out, and it was bad. It was badly managed, it was badly conceived, too much effort spent on things people didn't care about, the transient activities. They rebuilt the world, which I don't really have a problem with. They spent so much effort on that, and so little effort on the continuation of the max player experience, where everyone winds up anyway. They haven't released a content update since November. Not one little piece of content since November. A million subs was probably not a bad deal. They tried to say that they play people playing Diablo. Shut up. No, they're not. The Diablo player numbers are way the hell down. The purchases were huge. It's like 10 million worldwide or something like that, but that's not what people are doing. They're just not playing your game because there's nothing to do. But look, they may still have 9 million subscribers. World of Warcraft is the only thing keeping Activision afloat. That's, you want to get to the bottom line of it, that's it. More importantly, World of Warcraft is one of the only good things about that entire division from the point of view of Vivendi. Vivendi is trying desperately like in a panic to get rid of Activision. They don't want them. 4 years ago, Vivendi was doing great as a multimedia company. Anymore, they've lost half their stock value in the last 3 years. And they're wigging the fuck out. They're really, truly going insane. So they're trying to divest themselves of a bunch of their shit. The one thing they want to get rid of more than anything is Activision. They can't. Nobody's going to buy it. There's no one who can buy it. And the problem with Activision, regardless of Call of Duty, regardless even of something like StarCraft or Diablo, which does come out of Blizzard, those are single purchase, single quarter, one-time kind of bumps in sales. And they always even out. They always have. But WoW, year over year over year over year, has this nice $1 billion revenue per year of subscription income. And it's this elevating, this buoying force that kind of keeps Activision okay. And they've built their entire business strategy around the fact that, well, that's just there taking care of us. The rest of this stuff we can do whatever on. When you were living in such tight margins as a giant company, Activision's so big, when that elevating force starts to deflate a little bit, you know, when your cushion starts to disappear, oh, they got 9 million subs, they're still great. No, they're not. Because they were living in a world where 10 million subs kept them going.
Yeah.
And prior to that, just prior to that, they were living in a world of 12 million subs. And months before that, they were living in a world, as businessmen do, of, well, growth is great, and we're just growing, so let's act as if we're living in a world of growth. They're too big and too unwieldy and too stupid to understand why what they're doing is bad and why what's happening to WoW is happening. Fine. Tell yourself that you don't care and everything else is great in the world. It doesn't really matter. If WoW sub numbers drop too much, Activision starts to go even deeper in the shit. And it's kind of in the shit already. They go too much further in the shit, Vivendi freaks the fuck out and dumps their stock. The value drops even further. Lots of studios get closed. Lots of people get fired. It has a generally terrible effect throughout the entire gaming market. Like, it's just not good. So, we can really want the death of WoW, but this is a stretch, but in much the same way that the financial institutions were too big to fail, so is WoW, in a sense. It would be really nice if there was, if it happened slowly and in a really, really controlled fashion. And maybe
if they could plan for it.
Sure, but 10% drops per quarter isn't really particularly good. They're going to get a bump when Pandaria comes out.
When is
it? Again, you don't really care, I know. It's the 25th of September. That's the first time they've ever had a major alteration in their scheme and their timing for releasing their expansions. They've always had a strict 2-year timetable. The game came out 2 years, 1 year later at BlizzCon, they announced the next expansion.
The next year,
one more year they launch. Then you got the X-Pack. One more year they announce, one more year they launch. One more year they announce, one more year they launch. One more year they announce Panda, then they go into this mode of no more updates to their game. They finally reach where we would normally be in their beta process, where they've dropped the NDA, everybody's talking about every ounce of all of the content, and then you wait for BlizzCon, you get an official date, probably November, you stick to the normal thing. They're not doing that. They've pushed it up significantly. September 25th is like 2 months prior to when they normally would, before BlizzCon. There also is essentially no good information coming out of the beta about what it's really like. Almost all of the beta information has been the Panda beginning area, which I don't care about. I don't care about it at all. I care about the stuff my friends and I will be doing, even if it's just for a month. Run up to level 90, run through the dungeon, see what it's got, and kind of be done with it. But that's not really there. There's a little bit of information, but it's not that tidal wave of new info that they've always used to generate excitement. They're also continuing to give out beta invites through contests. I went to their main site, to Battle.net, for something. I don't even know what. And through Battle.net and their Facebook page, they're giving away like 10,000 beta invites a week from now through the end of August. The fucking game comes out at the end of September.
Yeah.
There is no way. There is no way in hell this expansion pack is fully baked. There's none. Their behavior is too strange. And they've always been the sorts of people who don't mind you seeing what they have to offer if it's ready to go, if it's ready for prime time. Very cagey this time. Very squirrely. And there's no way in hell they're not doing it because of Guild Wars. Guild Wars is out in 3 weeks. 1 month before them. Almost to the day when they're going to offer their last beta invites to Mists of Pandaria. Blizzard is. Like, something, there's something wrong with Mists of Pandaria. They're going to get their bump, but there's a chance that they're going to lose. They're going to have a huge drop-off in probably the month following that expansion. It doesn't reignite a lot of people's interest. They're just going to see exactly what they saw in Cataclysm. A bunch of shit they pulled out of their ass. A bunch of garbage that isn't relevant to their interests in the game. And they're going to see a massive loss. Which, fine. They'll go play something else. Those guys will play Guild Wars. Those guys will probably go check out Old Republic. Instead of having everyone concentrated in one place, you're going to probably see people fracture and move around. But
when does the time? When is the time when the Diablo 3 pre-order gangs? When does that expire?
I don't actually know the specifics. I'm sure it's listed somewhere on their site about as long as you agreed to the 12-month billing process between blah and blah. So I think probably people right up to before Diablo 3 came out were still getting in on that deal. The bulk of them probably bought into the one-year plan right at the top of the year. Yeah, that's when they first started. I believe it was... I honestly don't remember whether it was as long ago as December or whether it was January, February. But it was right there in the middle of winter. So those subs won't lapse until probably January.
Yeah.
And they've lost... But they've lost a million subs. They've lost 10% of their subscription numbers in one quarter, despite having people who had committed to a one-year lock-in for Diablo 3.
Really?
Yeah. No. These subscription numbers are from February on, from the quarter starting in February, where I believe most people had already committed to the, oh yeah, I'll throw down for a year in order to get my free Diablo. So take that million that's gone, and however many of those people there are, and we don't know how many of them there are, and watch that lapse happen. You could see, in the next year, you could easily see a huge crash, and WoW could just implode. It could just implode. And again, I'm not saying it even deserves to live. What I'm saying is when something that big dies, it causes an enormous amount of collateral damage. Whether you want it to or not, bad things have a tendency to happen. And I don't think it would be really good to watch Activision explode and sort of fracture and send shrapnel all over the place. I don't think that would be good. If I was... And I like to see things just die sometimes. But I don't think that would be good for anybody, really. And I think we'd run the risk of things that we care very much about disappearing. So, I don't know. That's certainly a really long-winded way of saying what people have wanted to predict for so very long, the death of WoW. I think we can all smell the decay on it now. It's not about being predictive. It's not about how much you hate it, so you're going to declare it to be dead. That really hasn't ever been true. Now that they're seeing drops in subs...
Now there's a chance.
That can't be explained away just by, ah, it's this thing. Man, fuck you. It's in bad shape, so... And they're nowhere near being able to put out their next game. Their next MMO. They can't even turn around the second episode of StarCraft 2.
Yeah.
Oh, 6 months. Yeah, fuck you. It's been 2 years.
Yeah.
And you're not even building any multiplayer this time around. You're just you're just building another faction story, essentially, because you already had the multiplayer.
Yeah, and they were at the units, too, don't they?
Do what?
They were at the units for multiplayer.
For the most part. And they can't turn anything around. I understand that they have pretty good build quality in their games, but Jesus, man, you need to... Where's your talent at? Where are all your people at? Have that many quit? Do you have that many on Titan? It's bad news over there. It's really, really bad news.
Yeah, it just looks like they just can't run on Blizzard time anymore.
No. They can't. So, interesting is what it will be.
Yeah, whether good or ill is...
Yeah. And what will be most interesting, what will be really telling from sort of a, you know, an analytical point of view, is what happens between... Much depends on Guild Wars quality. I don't want to overstate things. I have enjoyed the shit out of it in what little bit I've been able to play. But just like all the other shit that's available, it's been run... The open beta information stuff all comes from weekend events. Mm-hmm. No significant portion of the population has made it to endgame. Has even made it past midgame. Nobody has. So, just like Old Republic... We're seeing the first third of the game, and we're basing all of our opinions on the first third of the game. Not its longevity, not its end game to whatever degree that might actually matter, not its actual live functionality, none of it. That shit matters. And 1 month will be long enough to get a number of people, the first hardcore players to end game, to see exactly what they do with it and what it does for them. And that'll be the point that Pandaria comes out, and a bunch of people have to make the decision. Do I pick that up? Do I care? That's $40 fucking. Plus, I probably have to re-up my account, and I don't get a free month just for buying an X-Pack. So, if I want to go check it out, that's 40 plus 15 just to have a look around. That's a lot. It's the box cost of a full game like Guild Wars.
Yeah.
Or, am I so interested in that I go play it? I don't need a sub for Guild Wars because I bought the box, but do I now not buy anything for the cash shop? You know, like, how is it going to work? Are the numbers going to drop over here? Are you going to start seeing it suffer in media reports? Things like that. That'll matter. That's the match right there. Like, from the end of this month until probably the beginning of October will tell us a lot about where the big guys in the MMO space are. The really, really big guys. And we'll have a better picture then, obviously, for more genre-specific people about where PlanetSide 2 is. So... your Bloomberg MMO report.
Yeah, really. with PlanetSide beta starts, waves start going out on Monday.
This is actually fairly legit. I don't know. Did you read John Smedley's AMA on Reddit?
No,
I'm not. Okay. Sorry. Go back and read it. Go back and do yourself a favor. And actually, if any of you guys have time, I don't know how much you care, go read it.
Is it under gaming?
No. It's a
stream. Is it under AMA?
Which was actually fairly confusing for an awful lot of people, because 90% of the discussion was PlanetSide specific, obviously. So a bunch of people had no idea what it was, what it was about. I'm very high on PlanetSide right now. It's a thing that I want. And they have been extremely good about engaging the community during this process. So obviously I feel, even as a passive participant, pretty well loved. Because of where they are, like, you know, they've made a big push in the last, like, 2 months to get the word out. Sony Online Entertainment, right? Sony Gaming. Sony's a big company, and we know they're in huge trouble. Their entertainment division, like Sony Pictures and Sony Music and stuff, that's fine, it's whatever it is. Sony Electronics is a little... they need to turn around their fucking television business, essentially. Sony Computer Entertainment, which is the PlayStation, has a very questionable future, and we've said this before. Sony, as a company overall, isn't doing very well right now. And it takes a Herculean effort and enormous amounts of money to launch a console. This could be a huge problem for them. But within the Sony Games stuff is Sony Online Entertainment. And they have, I'm sure you'll remember, a really... messy history. And if you've been paying attention long enough, and you may have forgotten because that's how news works, put all of the stuff with EA out of your mind. Put this concept of how evil Activision is out of your mind. Really, for the first 5, 6, 7, 8 years of, like, you know, maybe not as long as past 2006 or 2007, SOE was the big evil boogeyman.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially, I remember, like, horror stories during Star Wars Galaxies.
Oh, God, man. It was, yes. It was very, and that wasn't, it was actually going all the way back, I believe, before.
Yeah.
To how that was managed. They have a terrible history, a terrible modern history of relating to their customers. And they, I don't want to say they collapsed or they imploded, but they just reached a critical mass where they just couldn't do anything right, essentially.
I just got to that question. Can you finally come clean about the decisions that were made regarding Star Wars Galaxies? Mainly the content, the combat upgrade, and the new game experience.
Yeah, do me a favor and read word for word Smedley's answer.
Sure. Stupid decisions. Complete and utter fail, and I'm very sorry.
Hmm. This isn't like Bob the guy. This isn't a project leader or an individual manager. This is the guy that's in charge of the company. And granted, I'm going to be a little bit, you know, skeptical and say the guy's not stupid. He's smart enough to have learned that a well-received AMA does an awful lot for your image. But the dude is aggressively involved with PlanetSide, and he seems to be very aggressively involved with the idea of a turnaround in SOE. I mean, these guys were... There are terrible, terrible stories, like more rage-filled bullshit under... And we're not talking about a guy who inherited someone else's problems. This guy was the guy. While people were protesting in Star Wars Galaxy and being teleported into space. He was responsible for making some of the worst management decisions in this kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. For him to come in after the fact, after the game is closed and mothballed and nothing can be done about it, and say, yeah, it was 100% bullshit and my fault and I'm sorry, is honestly the least that he should do. But I can't help but be happy that he's doing it. There's no doublespeak. There was no sort of corporate shield.
I'm only a few questions into this thing. This is a really good... This is... Yeah.
And...
He did these right. He did this right.
Here's what I choose to believe. Because I have to make some prediction. Because I love to hear myself talk. This guy went through so much shit. This company, this subdivision of this company, went through so much shit before other people were doing it. They fucking stepped in it. In the early days of being able to step in it, they forged new ground in terms of what not to do when dealing with online-only populations. They are likely to be the first major organization to come out of that with the most lessons learned. Other people are still actually in the middle of stepping in it. Yeah. EA and Activision in particular are the giant companies doing that. These guys, SOE, is pushing in the direction that we know it's all going to go. They are very focused on online only. Largely MMO-based stuff. They are focused on and in a position to react to the shitty feedback of... You want to know what not to do right now? You don't make Star Wars The Old Republic. You don't make this kludgy, stupid, backward-looking, subscription-based, dumb, top-heavy, traditional MMORPG. You sure as double fuck do not make The Elder Scrolls Online the same thing. You don't do that. That is an historic way to make an MMO. It is not the way to do it in the future. You will not succeed. You are not good enough. No one is anymore. Based on some of his responses and things that he obviously can't talk about, they are really interested in moving back toward emergent, back toward sandbox, back toward UA or UO, DAOC, Star Wars Galaxies, this kind of open, unscripted, emergent player-driven type of thing. Emergent specifically is what he uses. Anybody can use the word, but that's what they're interested in. He commits 100% to the idea that subscription models are dead. No new MMO can ever do anything without some kind of free-to-play model, and that's all of what they're doing. He indicates that they have... The only things he's willing to acknowledge right now are PlanetSide 2, obviously, he's throwing just about every ounce of his weight behind it actively, as a player and as a like co-creative guy with Matt Higbee. And every day, all the time, hours and hours and hours a day, hands-on in the game. That matters, that the top man is doing that. He also acknowledges EverQuest Next, whatever the hell that's going to turn out to be. But he indicates pretty strongly that they've got a significant number of things in development that we should be kind of excited to hear about. But the tempo and the timbre and the nature of how these guys are acting, if what they're doing with PlanetSide is any indication of how they want to run the company in general now, I'm turned on. I'm really turned on. Do yourself a favor and read the AMA. It's got some cheesy stuff in there. It's got some bullshit. He's also confronted by people who are like, hey, you essentially ruined my life because I used to work for your company.
Yeah, there's a lot of those.
And he's like, yeah, that sucks and I'm very sorry. But like, there's nothing I can really do about it. You know? Yeah. But it's very interesting. They seem to be, rather than a restrictive, hidden, cloistered, and reactive bunch of assholes, they seem to be very open and exposed, you know?
He also said didn't seem to be talking through a translator, i.e. a PR person.
Like
a lawyer or some shit
like
that.
If you've been closely following an awful lot of what seems to be happening with PlanetSide, its development is exactly what we've always dreamed about from the perspective of players. There is no line between, there are distinctions, but no lines between enthusiast and player and veteran and someone who's super involved and the beta guys and the PR people and the developers and the celebrity people who are interested. It's this very soft, very strange kind of like a osmotic barrier where things are just flowing in and out. You go on Reddit and you're talking, I'm an asshole and I think this and this thing and I'm also over on PlanetSide Universe and this stuff and like maybe I'm in the tech test already and I'm on like the beta forms and there's just a lot of flow in and out between the people who are creating and then the people who are interested. A lot of one-on-one type of stuff. And
I'll say that doesn't happen very often.
No, but it's happening more often. It's happening more and more and more often all the time, and I can't imagine a way in which it isn't good.
Do you think PlanetSide 2 will have the most success out of all the Sony Online Entertainment games? Yes.
I want to believe that what they're doing here is what they'll continue to do. I don't necessarily expect something so open from EverQuest development. I don't expect it, maybe.
Well, it's hard to say because it's just announced, right?
Right. But it's an interesting thing, and really I just started talking when you mentioned the beta would be on Monday. There have been lots of rumors of beta, and you know their suggestion of timetables and stuff has been wildly off because they're busy making a game, and that's fine. But in his AMA, he was like, no, dude, no bullshit, it's starting Monday. Okay. Unless something fucking horrible happens, 99.99%, it's happening Monday.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, he was very clear about what order people are getting in. The reality is that it could take 2 to 4 weeks for every single person with a beta key to get in. Because people who are currently subscribed to the original PlanetSide get in day one, hour one.
That's good.
People who have ever subscribed to PlanetSide are in the next batch. Whatever that might be. And then all people with priority beta keys, E3 beta keys, PC Gamer beta keys, Twitter beta keys, Facebook beta keys, these things. It's all from the same batch. They'll be let in as possible over the next, 2 to 4 weeks. Yeah. So,
by September, we should all be playing.
Yeah.
I'd like to say that by
next
show, we'll have
somebody maybe
in, or maybe that weekend we'll have gotten in. Who knows? But yeah, lots of good stuff there. On to the emails here from Paul Morissette, writing to us from Adelaide, Australia. He's talking about DayZ Adventures. As always, love the show, keep up the great work, et cetera, you know it by now anyway, blah, 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 get on with it. The reason for my email is the now-famous Arma 2 mod DayZ. I haven't heard you mention it on the podcast yet, at least in the episodes released at this point in time, and I have to say I was a little surprised, although I'm sure you're aware of it, James, Jeremy at least. I highly recommend giving this one a go. With the game philosophy of Eve, give the players a whole bunch of shit to play, to play with and then let them decide what to do with it, plus permadeath and a total lack of hand-holding. This is the sort of game that could only work on the PC. I've been playing myself and had countless amazing adventures and could regale you with stories, but you need only check YouTube for plenty of those. So anyway, I think it's the sort of thing you guys would get a kick out of, and nonetheless, I'd be interested to hear your opinions on the podcast, as I'm sure it hasn't passed you by unnoticed. Cheers again, Paul from Australia. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah. We have mentioned it.
We've mentioned it
once, but...
And maybe that, and at least episode 9 or 10, I would say,
yeah.
We made mention of it. You wrote this on the 24th, so 10 wasn't out yet, and maybe 9 may not have been out at this point either, so I'm not exactly sure. You did mention it, but we have brought it up. Our buddy Kevin, who does production on the show, he is all about it, and initially had told us to hold off on it, And as much as I was a little bit, like, mad that he did that a couple of weeks ago, I'm actually glad he did that, because I'm glad I'm not playing it. It was on sale during the Steam sale last show we did. It was on sale, and I never picked it up. I put it in my cart, but I never went and pulled the trigger. And that says a lot. That says a lot to me to put the bullet in the gun but never fire. And that's what I did. And... I'm glad I didn't. I read the forums, and I'm glad they're having a great time, but I don't know that the great times are outweighing their frustrations. They keep pushing on and playing, and I think likely that has to do with the drought that we're in at the moment, keeping them away from other games.
Which, depending on where your interests lie, isn't going to be around for much longer at all.
Right, and that all depends, but... But there's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of things that I hear them talk about that I would think, God, why? I have no desire to play this yet. A lot of, it's not called hacking, but it's called something else. When somebody gets in and just fucks your server up that you're on. A lot of people have been spawned in midair for some reason.
Okay.
And yeah, somebody's in there and they just spawn people in midair and let them drop and die. Just random shit happens. That it's a completely buggy game. It's massively. I mean, it's not even a beta. It's more of an alpha.
No, it is an alpha.
Yeah, it's a complete alpha right now. And
which
and
is fine. You have to.
You have to do these things, but I don't want to be a part of it.
Be willing to recognize that if you're going to get in there, it's simply not fair to level any kind of complaint against it when it's an alpha. My only problem, and I think that Scott would agree to this as well, is that. I am interested in playing it, but it's moved so far along now that what I'm really interested in is letting them go ahead and commit to the standalone version of it, whatever that turns out to be, and show me that they're... I don't want to play Armor. I have no interest in it. I know a lot of people buy it, aren't really as interested in DayZ as they thought, and then move on to Armor. I don't give two shits about Armor.
Yeah.
I do want to play DayZ. I really regret that I'm not involved in this messy alpha crap because there are a lot of really fun and unpredictable things that'll never happen again.
Yeah.
And are only happening for the people willing to put up with the shit. For me, at the moment I'm more interested in seeing something that they're committed to as developers. Instead of just the guy making this on his own whatever time, recognizing, maybe we should focus in on this and make it a proper, supported, standalone project. Once they do that, I'd be willing to put the money down. I really would. But even at the 40% off they were offering, it was still just above my price for stuff during the Steam sale.
Yeah. The other email about DayZ comes from Theodore Stromberg, who says, hey, IGC, I don't know if you guys had a chance to check out DayZ yet, but since the Steam sale came and went, I'm guessing you have. I got it a few weeks ago, and I haven't been able to stop playing it. The game it reminds me the most of is actually EVE Online. It partially captures the magical thing that makes people put up with the boring parts of EVE, and since it's an FPS of sorts, it's more accessible to a wider audience. Just like EVE, the game itself is very bare bones. It's just a set of systems for interacting with the environment and other players. The game doesn't give you goals. You set your own goals, either as a group or individually. It could be setting up an elaborate ambush for a vehicle, or just something as basic as getting some food. The thing that makes it all interesting is the unpredictability of operating in a player-driven world. Nothing stays the same for very long, and you never reach a state of being entirely comfortable, so you have to keep setting new goals for yourself, killing the guy who raided your camp, repairing your vehicle, or picking up your friend who just respawned. There's also actually a strong Diablo element to the game. Acquiring and hoarding new and better gear is as satisfying as in any dungeon crawler, even though it's always only a matter of time until you lose it all. I hope this game will teach other developers the lesson of how interesting player-driven worlds can be, because they obviously didn't seem to learn it from Eve. For me, that was always the promise of MMOs, to have a world driven by players and not a theme park world where you're always in control of your own experience. Too many developers are needlessly scared of giving up control of the game and the game experience and putting it in the hands of the players. Looking forward to the next show.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. I think all of the perspective on DayZ is actually perfect. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to sound at all like I disagree. I'm just not willing to do it. And I'm not holding it against them. I have to look at my own thing, how I'm going to spend my own personal time. I know that it... I just have to understand that it's not for me. That I would go through the effort, I would buy the game, I would get it modded, I would try to play it, and I know there are other things I want to spend my time on right now, and I wouldn't get what is right out of it. Christ, though, as of early in the week, they crossed 900,000 players.
Yeah, I've got that right there.
They've got to be at or closing in on a million now.
So, it's an MMO essentially, or
it is a large scale multiplayer. It is still server by server, although okay. Character specific, and something like how many people per server? Arma supports a couple hundred, something like that. Is that correct?
It's a first-person shooter, right?
Yes.
Third.
Is it third?
Or is it well, I think all the game videos are in third.
Or is it like,
third. Or is it like Mag?
I thought it was like... No, I think it's first and third. Is it like what I'm saying?
Is it like Mag on a bigger scale?
It is. Now, if you want to talk about Mag on a bigger scale, that's what PlanetSide is.
Okay.
This is...
Mag has objectives. PlanetSide has objectives. This has no objective. This is
It's a mod for a very realistic military sim.
Okay.
Arma is a combined arms, you know, air power, ground power, infantry power, modern military sim, where you're on a fictional island nation,
mm-hmm.
and you get to fight through, you know, you just have a war. Mm-hmm. It's a big thing. There are a lot of people who are fucking heart attack serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's its own particular thing,
mm-hmm.
And very cool in its own right. There's a third one coming out, the Arma 3, which go ahead and look at those screenshots and then cry yourself to sleep. And so one of the guys, I don't even know if he's the lead on Arma, but he's one of the people from that studio, wrote his own mod for his own game. And released it as a thing. So they've taken the basic structure of highly realistic, very very deadly, very simulator-ish open world on the same type of thing, but just filled it with zombies instead of, you know, enemy soldiers and stuff like that. And it's player versus player, you know? It's your job to survive on your own, to avoid both zombies and
everybody else,
and to find people you can team up with, and to have these sort of unscripted, emergent things. I just feel like painting a happy future for you, so I'm just going to say a bunch of shit now. This is what everything's going to be in 5 years. I liked theme park MMOs. I had a grand time for 6-8 years playing them. I thought WoW did a really good job of it for the most part. I thought that it was fun. I thought that if the scenery was good and the story was engaging, then I'll come along for the ride. You know, I can hop off whenever I like. But I think they're done being dominant. They're probably not going to disappear, but I think they're done being dominant. I think anyone who can come along and create a sandbox deliver it without a monthly subscription, because it is hard to subscribe to a sandbox thing if it ain't your deal, and just sort of be like, here, here's the thing I made, here's a couple ways for you to give me money, go do some shit, then it'll work. The fact that we're, the fact that there are more of them now than there were at any time in maybe the last 5 years, obviously not counting the closure of Galaxies specifically, like, they're just people who are recognizing that hunger and recognizing that there are ways for them to make money off of it, too. So, I like to think that that's where everything's going to be. Everything is going to be more what you make of it. And DayZ is evidence of that. For fuck's sake, 1 million people! The mod's only been alive for 3 months? Is it a 3-month-old mod or something like that?
Yeah.
1 million people! The game is overpriced. Arma 2 is some overvalued shit at $40. And it's still the number one seller on Steam. It was the number one seller on Steam, or number two.
It's been in the top 10 for the past 3 months.
Yeah, since the mod was released.
And the game is 2 years old.
It's ridiculous. And this is a...
The mod isn't. The game itself is like...
the base game.
Yeah, Leecon in the chat room says, one comment from the DayZ dev that I loved is this. I can guarantee no company that has no way to mod their game will ever sell 200,000 extra copies 2 years down the line when someone makes a zombie mod.
He's making a good case for mods. Yeah.
And the RPS guys who wrote the story, said, I can predict one thing. The companies that do not support modding will never have a zombie mod sell hundreds of thousands of extra copies of their game.
Yeah.
The only problem with this is that when you're making your game, you have to consider what extra does it take for me? What does it take for me to create a game that's this kind of moddable? That's moddable at this level? What is the likelihood that my game will get this kind of bump? And is it worth me supporting the possibility? Is it worth what really is a bit of a gamble? Or could be a bit of a gamble? They're not all going to agree to it, you know? We're not about to see an enormous universal renaissance in gaming. There are still the EAs and the Activisions, no matter how badly their stock may be performing. They're still going to do the things that they do, the things they know how to do. Their culture, they're going to abide by their culture. But all it takes is someone who isn't working that way to start deciding, okay, yeah, maybe I will do this to my game. Maybe I will let all of my development studios work in this particular way. Maybe I will be less concerned about monetization and be more interested in customizability. Monetization through customizability, I guess. I don't know. Experimentation's always good. And we stand to benefit.
The next email comes from Paolo, who says, hello, IGC. His subject title for this is Final Fantasy, what is that, 14? Okay, yeah, Final Fantasy 14. More ranting.
Was that the MMO?
Yeah, the
most recent MMO.
Yeah. More ranting. I may be getting too old for this shit. Final Fantasy 14 site got updated just a minute ago. It is now called Final Fantasy 14 A Realm Reborn. It has a new pretty trailer, some screenshots of the game, and, well, that's it. The claims are the game is being remade and relaunched after that bullshit they released in 2010, but I'm very suspicious already. They post some static screenshots and a non-gameplay trailer, and there is not one single piece of information on what the changes are, on what has been improved. Are they afraid? So I ask myself, am I being too demanding of them? Should I trust them after what they did last time? Personally, I think they better start spitting out why I should even waste my time visiting their site. But then, I may be a bit harsh on people that trick me. What do you guys think? Keep up the good work.
Is there anyone who isn't extremely gun-shy about a Final Fantasy MMO at this point?
Not just an MMO, just Final Fantasy
in general?
I'll still play them, but I think I'm the only one, really.
You're not the only one. There's plenty of people out there, but as far as this group, you're probably the only one.
You know, I would like to think I would like to.
I haven't cared about Final Fantasy in, what, a decade?
I haven't cared a whole lot in a while.
I care more about like their side stuff, like tactics and such, than the main game itself. 13 was... it was okay.
Leecon says don't trust them. In the chat room says don't trust them. I don't blame them.
I mean, I played 11, which was their first MMO, and this is back, you know, when MMOs were still somewhat fresh out of the gate.
Sure. You're talking about
but it was
on 2000, the PS2?
Yeah, PS2, well...
2001?
Yeah. It was...
Early 2002? 10 years ago?
Which one was it? Final Fantasy
1? 11.
11.
Final Fantasy 11.
The only reason I remember is I remember...
Trey was playing it.
Yeah, but I remember us all having our LAN set up at Blackwood. And I remember everybody... They released a... this is a stupid memory, but they released a little benchmark tool.
Yep, PCs. Yep, with all the little...
And we so were like... Right, yeah, yeah. And it was like you know, camera free-flying through, like, a bunch of different environments and stuff. We were all, like, running
this
benchmark tool on our PCs in the LAN at Blackwood Drive.
The North American release date on the PC was 2003. On the PlayStation 2 was 2004. On the 360 was 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where you...
I played on PC, because I actually had a like a program.
Yeah, and I remember once people were actually playing it.
Yeah.
We were playing it at the shop. We were playing it downstairs at Planet Games 2.
Yeah, I played it first, and then...
And then I
stopped playing once everybody else started. Everybody else was like, have you heard this game? It's like, yeah, I was playing that for a couple of months.
Right. We were playing Anarchy Online.
Yeah.
At the time.
It's just everything I've heard about 14, just... I have no real interest in it. It's like, there's enough bad out there. It's just like, I have so much other stuff available.
Yeah.
Why would I want 14? Why would I want a game that had to be remade have a chance of being good?
Let's put aside whether... If a game is good, it's good.
Yeah.
If they can make it good, whatever the hell they had to go through to make it good, it can still be pretty good. And MMO suffers a bit more in this regard because it needs people.
Yeah,
you need a lot of people, which is one of the things that free-to-play sort of does. It makes sure that even if it's peopled with a lowest common denominator of, like, fucking, you know, I don't know. Whatever, like the absolute worst kind of online gamer. There's still people there. There's still some sort of fodder for the game world. Which is why even heavily rebuilt subscription-based games have a tendency to... They don't ever ignite again. They don't ever have a critical mass again. And I'm guessing 14 hasn't moved to a different kind of pricing model, yeah?
Not that I know of. I haven't kept up on the recent news, just the fact that they are essentially having to reboot it.
I think that's from like a year ago, yeah? Oh shit, we gotta fix this fucking thing. Hold on, we'll be right back. I feel like that was from like a year and a half ago.
Yeah. And I can't get behind something not that's had this trouble sight unseen. Like, maybe if it comes out, it's like, well, okay, now it's good. Okay, but...
Right.
You know, like Emil said, you know, just checking out a preview site, it's like... No, I really don't have any reason to.
You're doing it wrong. Faith. You're communicating wrong. You're not communicating properly with your people. I suppose that's what it really means.
Yeah.
And if that's the question or if that's the situation, then absolutely they're not.
I'm looking up. I'm just trying to get some dates. It was announced on October 14th, 2011 that they were intending to relaunch the game.
Yeah, okay, so not quite a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and didn't they say that when the problems came to
not even a year ago, sorry.
They were basically,
I can't do math.
I don't think they were refunding subscriptions, but I think they said people who want it could play for free.
I remember
until
something
the server
like that.
Shut down.
Nothing in here stating that.
I do. I remember that distinctly, though.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact details, but. I seem to recall
the beta for this is slated to begin between October and December of this year. So, Yeah, the Helicon says the plots have gotten so convoluted, as have the mechanics of the game. Use your skill bar to raise your rhythm bar, to change your mecha sushi bar to uber levels, to attack, and then he says Funcom after that. Final Fantasy, was.
I mean, the ones that I enjoy the most are like the ones from the Super Nintendo era.
Yeah.
And 9. And
9 was fantastic.
That's about it. I mean,
Poor guys. They're not.
I mean, Squeenix is putting out plenty of other stuff that's worthwhile. I mean, Deus Ex, you know.
But arguments could be made that while it was very nice to have them involved in it at the level that they were, that too many of the decisions they made resulted in the parts of the game that we didn't like.
Yeah.
The boss battles and...
You could make that argument. I don't even know that we ever came to a place where we could understand exactly where the division of blame rested, but...
The next and final email comes from Daniel Phelps, who says, I've got a question, and this is for both the crew and perhaps listeners who have completed the trilogy in its entirety. My apologies if I'm digging up something you are sick of discussing, though that's part of why I've waited this long. I wanted to wait a month or two after the dust sort of settled to put this out there, but simple enough. Would you recommend the Mass Effect series to others? I'm talking all three games. Is the experience worth it in everyone's opinion or no? Avoid thinking about it too much. It'll sway you. Looking forward to the next one.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I think it is possibly one of the series that is best, given everything we know, it may be best for you now that it's sort of over with. Now that there isn't any sort of anguish, hand-wringing, gyrating, foaming at the mouth bullshit over what it actually means, episode to episode, iteration to iteration. It's just there. Maybe give it a little bit more time, or whatever you want. Don't read up about it. Don't give too much a shit about it. Just take the three games and go play them.
Yeah.
And take them for what they are. The good, the bad, the scars, and the boils, all. Take it for what it is and play it and enjoy it. Because if we could all collectively get our heads out of our asses, and I know that... Like, I could do a podcast without my head up my ass anyway, you know? I understand that, but if we all were just rational, even, level-headed people, we would look at it and say, God damn it, that was really just a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't almost everything I did in that game kind of a lot of fun, even though there was a bunch of crap in it? Yes. It was a tremendous amount of fun. So, it may not be your cup of tea. You may really hate the shift from, like, somewhat... slightly heavier RPG mechanics in the first one to more shooty bangs, cover-based mechanics in the second one. Not that they weren't there in the first one, but you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
Maybe you don't like the way it advances. Maybe you do. Maybe it's not your style of game. I don't know. I would recommend it more now than I ever would have.
Yeah, well, and you also know what you're getting into. You know, you wouldn't have the sudden shift in gameplay going between the...
Or you would at least know that it's... You could know to expect it.
Yeah.
I think I absolutely would. I think that it's... I also think it's probably one of the best things to maybe define this console generation, you know? I was a relatively early player with the first game. And it's grown in ways that this console generation grew, you know? Become stupider in some aspects and more complicated and more polished than others.
I like the music in it, too. I think it had some of the nicer...
I don't think they ever matched the first game.
Yeah,
like,
that music from the first intro, like, just from when, like, Shepard's, like, marching through the ship, heading up to the bridge, and the first Mass Effect theme was superior. But yeah, you're right, they did. The sound design in general was actually very, very good. They didn't do a whole lot of lifting and pasting out of other things. It was a lot of really good, original, specific sound design.
Yeah, I would like to play through that series. I only got partway through the first one.
Then I think you would actually enjoy the shit out of it. It was...
Yeah, cause, I stopped playing that long before 2 came out, because there was just so stuff to play, and I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to catch up in time for 2 to come out, so I'll just wait on it, see how 2 goes. Mm-hmm. You know, and there was that entire thing, and then more stuff came out, and I was like, well, I'll just wait till it's done.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to go back through. I did enjoy the time I had in 1.
Yeah, it's...
Because I did every side quest you could do, and the only story-relevant one I did, I think, was taking down old girl, Marina Citrus.
Oh, okay. Service
character.
Yeah. You're not very far at all, then. You got most of... overall... most of everything to go through, and it's a great piece of fiction, you know, in a bit of a way like Halo. It hints at a really, really developed universe.
Yeah.
That they never personally let you see or become involved in. There's a ton of dialogue, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of exposition, and the characters are...
Well, that's one of the things I like, was being able to go through the codex and be like, you know, here's all this information on how this works.
Yes, the codexes and like data file stuff is all really, really well done. Less so in 3. I think that was one of the places they dropped the ball in 3. But I think it's also hard not to argue that 2 was maybe the high point of the series. But recommend it completely.
And that is all the emails and the Tector tweets that we had gotten this episode. Only news bits. The only bits of news that I have here is a new Rise of the Triad being made and released.
Oh, I remember that game.
Mm.
That's the first time you could do 2 guns.
Yeah.
I remember the cheat code for that was John Woo.
Yeah, it was.
Very appropriately.
No. So new Rise of the Triad, and earlier, was it this week or was it last week? Right after our show, Ubisoft had that.
The Uplay stuff. That lasted like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It was most interesting for, even though it seriously lasted like 5 minutes, how anxious people are to find something to continue to hate someone they already dislike. Even the smallest little thing that would be dismissed if it was from someone that they appreciated. It's a... reason to condemn them further. One more stake in their heart, supposedly. I thought that maybe that would blow up into a big deal, but they addressed it the minute it became widely available. So, maybe you did it on purpose, maybe you didn't. I don't know. But you fucking shut it down so quick that I don't really have anything to latch on to, do we?
But that's all I got.
Have you have you heard or seen anything about Sleeping Dogs?
I have avoided it for I don't know why.
I saw some videos and stuff, and it's got my interest.
Yeah,
you know, the open world, Hong Kong cop that's undercover. You know, the story, you know, reminds me of some old Hong Kong movies and stuff I used to watch. And,
I mean, this is the spiritual successor to True Crime, isn't it?
That I'm not.
When I first watched the trailer, I thought this is True Crime. Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's the same series or not, but when I saw that, that's what I thought it was. True Crime, L.A.
And if I'm not mistaken, they're using the Just Cause 2 engine.
What?
Or was I wrong on that?
Man, I didn't give a shit what kind of game it is. It could be like a fucking cookie dough simulator using the Just Cause 2 engine. I don't give a shit, dude. I'll do anything in that. That's ridiculously fun. Which, by the way, you want to speak about mods that I actually
care about? Oh, yeah, the multiplayer.
The multiplayer mod for Just Cause 2.
I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, it's also like in an early alpha state. There's nothing going on. It's...
God damn, that would be fun.
The same way that you can write... In much the same way that you can actually look through a bit of a fractured prism of DayZ and see the future... And have many interesting deep conversations about it, you can do none of those things with the Just Cause 2 mod, because all it cares about is being Just Cause 2 with lots of players. That's it. And if you've played Just Cause 2, you know exactly what that means. Nothing smart, nothing cerebral, nothing inventive or even really emergent. Just running around trying to pull bitches off of motorcycles with your grappling hook.
Can you imagine how fun that would be? Like, you and your friend are like next to each other in a car. You grapple the car and like it's something flying.
It's like a ridiculous stunt destruction sandbox. That's all it is. With just doesn't give a fuck. Everything useless stripped apart except for the fun. I don't think it's in a very workable state right now. And they're not even in a proper open beta yet. Or maybe they have now gone to that. They've been only doing limited uptime
betas. I wonder how this would work with other mods. Like if I had my Superman mod, would I be able to fly around?
I have no idea what they've allowed or what sort of restrictions they have placed on it. But
that would be worth it.
That they're doing it sort of proves yet another point. Like, shit, we want to do this. Some things we don't want any multiplayer in them.
Yeah.
Some things we could give a fuck about the single player.
I don't
care
about multiplayer.
Please learn better
DSX.
Where the distinction is. No, I don't.
I think that would be...
Not that I'm saying you couldn't come up with like a really swell
co-op. I'm sure, but it just...
But as far as like just open multiplayer, no. Yeah. Thank you.
But yeah, Just Cause would be awesome.
Yeah, that business looks pretty cute. But they're a little further behind the curve. Right now. But yeah, anyway, so Sleeping Dogs using the Just Cause 2 engine in an open world Hong Kong? Bullshit. So you fucking prove that shit to me. Somebody prove that to me so that I can agree to...
Leon looked it up. He said Sleeping Dogs uses its own engine. Okay. They just have some references to Just Cause 2 in it and a Just Cause 2 character suit as a pre-order.
Okay. Are we still, though, honestly, in any way looking at a somewhat semi-quasi open-ish world thing? I don't even know. I'm sorry, I don't know what the right term is when it really isn't. Right? Explorable Hong Kong
thing? From what I've heard, it is.
Yeah, but I mean,
I don't know how Hong Kong, how big of Hong Kong.
Sure.
Because Hong Kong's a big-ass city.
I've been at their press site for the past week and a half waiting for this review request button to light up so I can click it.
What's the date?
14th.
Next month?
14th no, 14th of this month.
Okay.
Yeah. Fuck me, really?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
There's two or three games hitting this month. Guild Wars 2 being one, Darksiders 2 being another,
I guess
Sleeping Dogs being another.
Yeah.
Which rolls us into September, which rolls us into October. Which
I really were on the way, and it's fine. Yeah. Okay, well, somebody, I need to know more then.
Now, I'm reading here, Just Cause 2 mod adds 600-person multiplayer? That how many people? In the 6 weeks since it was announced, the multiplayer mod has been tested 4 times. The results have been posted on YouTube. We will watch that after we are done with the show.
Yes.
With a lack of multiplayer content, the mod has generated huge interest. Its forum alone has gained more than 10,000 registered users since it launched. Just Cause 2 was released in 2010, by the way.
That'd be great. That could generate interest for Just Cause 2 again.
Well,
and have their...
Back to our previous conversation.
Yeah, with DayZ and Irma.
And that map is big enough for two.
And
for
here's
people.
The thing.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. See, the map is big enough, but there are but the things you need are concentrated in hubs.
Yeah. The bridge.
The bridge. I've heard that the airports are just a bloodbath of people trying to get something. And they've toyed with different things. They were actually pretty open in some of their earlier testing, where they were like, "Look, we're even allowing pirated copies in." They're like, we're putting no restrictions on this because the point is to test connectivity and see how everything's working. In further tests, we will be requiring registered, legitimate copies of the game to be used. They've done stuff where they've like forced all the players into specific locations to test those things out. Like they're removing hijacking and stuff. Like hijacking of a player vehicle and stuff because boy, that's fuck with things. So they're really like... In an even wilder and woolier place than DayZ is in terms of experimentation, because they don't even have a a total conversion type purpose. There's just a bunch of just a bunch of assholes playing Just Cause 2 in the same spot.
Yeah.
And Just Cause already did fairly well on its own for being that kind of, I mean, just going out there and playing on your own and doing all of these things, particularly with cheat codes and all this other stuff, was just unfair. It was so fun. It was unfair to other games. So, 600 people in that world is pretty fucking great. It's really, really fucking great. I'm sure that almost all of them are hanging out in specific locations and just having ad hoc little battles. Can you imagine, like, what was it, the little airship that flies around kind of in the southeast? Yeah. There's like a little airship with the party boat or something, like the yacht.
Oh yeah, thing, yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Something like that, or like getting on an oil barge, you know,
one of the,
and just like holding that area as long as possible.
It's basically going to be a whole bunch of ad hoc King of the Hill type shit.
Yeah.
You know, really sounds fantastic. I need to pay more attention to how that works.
I really hope they can make it where you can grapple the people and, you know, and treat them like, you know, the non-player characters. Yeah. You know, we grapple somebody, then set them to like a vehicle or one of the little.
I can't imagine
like the barrels that like fly off.
I can't imagine multiplayer PvP Wild West style gameplay that isn't centered around what is essentially griefing, because that's all that you really want to get in there and do is grief a bunch of other people. You just want to get in there and have what, at the moment, essentially must be a deathmatch.
Yeah. We'll see the video here after we get done doing the broadcast, because it'll answer a lot of our questions.
Did anybody catch any amount or coverage of Carmack?
No.
QuakeCon's going on, yeah.
I only saw the link a minute ago from, I think, it was about RPS.
Doom.
Well, Doom 4 is proper announced.
Yeah, and they're doing a special Doom 3.
They're doing a Doom 3, like, BFG edition that has additional content.
That had been announced, though. The Doom 4 had not.
Well, but the additional content stuff, I don't think, had been announced.
Right, okay.
And it doesn't mean all that much to us, because...
How old is Doom 3?
7 years?
Yeah.
It just barely precedes the current consoles.
Here we go.
Yeah, because I remember... Ben, a friend of mine, was playing it on the Xbox.
Right.
Not the 360. Why,
but that's where this remake is actually more important, because for PC gamers, we always had the HD version of it. Console gamers never did. So this updated HD version of the console, or of the version of the game, is really more important for the console people than it is for us.
I just hope they fix, like, with the, do something like with the duct tape mod.
I don't. No, for the standard release, they're going to do anything like that.
It was released in 2004 on Windows, and it was released in 2005 on the Xbox.
That back in the shop.
Yeah, a fine game. It's fine, whatever. What's more interesting is that, following this very small little spurt trend of developer, you know, contrition, Carmack was one of the things he said was basically like, yeah, sorry about Rage. That was fucking... It was all fucked up. Sorry. It was broken and buggy, and we didn't build it right. We didn't design it right. We didn't communicate right about it. We didn't deliver it right. We didn't do anything right. I'm really sorry. It's fucked. Sorry about that. You know, I'm like, okay. Okay. That matters. But that matters.
Yeah.
That you would say that. Furthermore, thought this was interesting, and I don't know how other people felt. Like, Carmack is the Carmack, you know? He's going to go where he wants and do what he wants, and he's interested in what he wants. And I remember, at least for me, I wasn't particularly happy to learn how sanguine he was about mobile gaming and developing for the iPhone and the iPad and all this other stuff. That he would get up at last year's QuakeCon and just be like, look at this bullshit I made on the phone. It's the greatest shit. Like,
yeah,
dude, I don't want that from you. You can do whatever you want, but I'm a little crestfallen. That's where your interest lies now. One of the things he said was that their mobile division is essentially shut down. It's effectively defunct. It's just all of the development there is suspended indefinitely, because they've taken all of the people, the very good people that he says they had working there, and essentially everyone is now working on Doom 4.
Okay.
Everybody. All of their development efforts are on Doom, and that he recognized their really sort of unforgivably bad timetables for releasing games, and is sort of like, well, we're going to try to get it done. Don't read anything into it, but we're going to try to get it done. So,
I would consider Doom their flagship.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Unfortunately, even
the Wolfenstein 3D came out before that. I mean, but Doom is what really made...
And the Quake has had just as, you know...
Yeah.
Quake sits in a much tougher place, because Quake and Quake 2 were what they were. But then
3...
Like Quake 3 was like its own deal, which was brilliant.
And
but it was something very different. And then 4 was like...
Meh.
Yeah. So... Yeah. I don't know what any of it means, but I thought it was interesting that he addressed something that was a very serious failure
some
for
missteps.
Them recently.
Yeah.
And the one thing people want to hear the most about that counts a lot, where the people who care about what he has to say are concerned.
And for Doom 4, we hired back John Romero.
You know what? A, it's not like he's doing anything better.
Yeah, he needs a job.
And B... You know, that's not entirely...
A bad idea?
That's not entirely a bad idea. And there are a lot of people out there who hope year after year to hear of a reunification.
That would definitely make news.
I can't necessarily think of anything wrong with it. I just don't know that Romero's ever going to be in a... I don't think Carmack's ever going to feel like he needs him again.
Yeah.
And Romero's never going to be in a place... I don't think it's possible. You know, it's whatever, it'd be fine. This doesn't exactly change everything in the world, but it sort of brought things up in a really strange way. The UK is now adopting the PEGI ratings as... They're not recommendations anymore. And this was already in place somewhat, but it was the BBFC or something, British Board of Film Classification...
Yeah.
Which is kind of like not a recommendations agencies over here, but like our the agent like the MPAA and the RIAA or something like that. But they had their classification systems for gaming. Anyway, that was what was used in all the shops and everything. And now they've adopted the PEGI system, which is like the pan-European system. But that shit is like. That they've changed, they've even further changed the law. Even under the BBFC recommendations, there were criminal. It was a criminal offense.
Yeah.
To sell a game to someone underage. Like it's bad enough in America where if you do that, you're done. You're fired. Your boss is fired. They kill your pets. You know. They're insane about it over here, and there is absolutely no law whatsoever that governs it. They're just industry recommendations. But over there, it's a criminal offense. You can be fined and thrown in prison. And even under the BBFC, I think it was like 4 years. But now they've adopted the PEGI ratings, they've changed the law, and now it's like 6 years. Like, you sell a fucking GTA to some 16-year-old kid?
6 years of the law.
Yeah. This is what I understand. What an astonishingly American thing to do. We love inventing criminals over here. We really, like, really do. I'm a little shocked at... It makes me a little queasy to think about that. Having worked in retail, you know? Having worked in that kind of retail. You've done it.
Yeah.
You know exactly what things are like. And it's been a while since either one of us did it, but...
Yeah.
Not so long ago that I can't remember what it's like to be that minimum wage asshole behind the counter. And every M-rated game transaction carries the specter of 6 years in prison. You are out of your fucking minds.
I can see people like being like, you know, Walmart just not carrying
them. Never carry them again. Just don't carry the damn things.
Yeah. That solves that problem.
Yeah. In fucking sane. And if somebody would say, it's just as simple as checking ID. And like, I get that, but... It's not that simple. There are places all over the world required to check ID where, through circumstances that are just
kids still
fully
get alcohol.
Human,
yeah.
Things fall through the cracks. Whether it's this kind of shit, whether it's getting into movies, whether it's getting into clubs, whether it's buying a drink, happens all the time. And it's because you're always putting the burden. The burden is always on the minimum wage, partially employed clerk behind the counter. This is one of the things that I think is most unbelievably mad.
As opposed to the person that's doing it.
The people with the most authority bear the least responsibility. It is... It's ghastly.
Yeah.
And I can't stand it. So, it's not like they've added a new thing. It's just that they've sort of expanded the punishment and have adopted a different rating system when they're doing it. But
I wonder how kind of brought online it to the sales would...
They're unaffected. They're unaffected because a credit card is required. And because age gating and age verification, even though it doesn't, whatever, it's considered, it's a different thing.
So, again, your parents could still buy you GTA.
Oh, that's again, that's perfectly fine, but...
Because it's the parent buying thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, and I believe the law very specifically allows for that, but it's astonishing that we would make this... carry a criminal penalty with an associated imprisonment. And the fine, maybe I could understand the fine, maybe, but in this one case, this is where I think the American system works almost flawlessly. Your job is at stake, and that is a big deal. And the job of your supervisor and probably your store manager is at stake. And there you go, because that's how seriously they take it. That's how interested they are in self-regulation. And those circumstances are serious. But there is simply no reasonable excuse for elevating it to the point of criminality. And our otherwise very irrational criminal justice system over here has supported that idea over and over and over again. No, it's stupid. It's already self-regulated enough. There's no evidence whatsoever that it should be criminal. So, sort of just kind of like made me uneasy for all those guys that I know are over there earning at or just above minimum, and it's like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, I always thought I had a shitty time, but you've got serious shit hanging over your head.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, I mostly think that's it.
Yeah. Kind of a full week in news, but not in actual playing. Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of Burnout Paradise lately.
PC?
Cross between that and also on the Xbox. Going back and forth, between the two.
I've been playing pinball on my iPad. So.
Yeah, I've been playing Kingdom Hearts 3D.
But then again, I've been at work a ton, and I'm doing 12-hour shifts at the job now, so...
Yeah.
This is all I can do, is like sit in the room and play some pinball, pause it, do some updates, come home, eat, and then crash, and then get up at 5:30 in the morning. So, or no, 4:30 in the morning.
I'm Virtual Fighter for practice. That's pretty much it. I'm trying to get back into Dark Souls, so I haven't done that in a long time, because the servers are still up, so
that
why not?
Fucking shit on the PC is... whatever. I mean, look it up on Steam or something like that. That's fucking this month, right? Or is it early September?
It's soon.
I was a little shocked the other day. I was like, it got the little pop-up when I closed out of something in Steam. And I'd seen it already, but I wasn't paying attention to the date. And then I saw the date, and I was like, mother...
Just snuck up on you?
Fuck!
One more thing, right?
One more goddamn thing to...
It's August 24th.
What the shit? Yeah. What the shit? How the shit am I going to do that?
What is Guild Wars?
25th.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And like I, for a long time I've said like, okay, they did it, and like however good or bad it turns out to be, fine, I'll do it. Fine. I'll do it, but I don't know if I can do it.
Are you guys going to pick up the Fall of Cybertron?
No.
Rent it.
I'll rent it.
I got friends who will probably actually pick it up.
But. Yeah. I enjoyed the shit out of the first one, but it was a casual weekend thing that we did co-op.
Yeah.
As much as I'm sure they'll do just as good in this one, it's not... I can't do it, dude. I cannot justify purchase for that game. I can't. I got too many other things. Dark Souls, I can... justify a thing. Like, that's a heavy, that's a bit of a big deal, and it's even bigger deal that it's coming to the PC, and it'd be nice to support something that we gave so much lip service to. If I'm going to buy a thing without multiplayer that is sort of a serious single player, what's it, you know? In addition to all the other things I'm actually getting, in addition to the new video card that I'm trying to save to buy, it's going to be Dishonored.
Okay.
You know? So, it would be a little more... It isn't a question of, like, I don't have money to buy a thing. It's that there are a lot of things.
There's
and I
have other
to be,
stuff.
And I just have to be a little more focused and careful about it. I mean, I'm already going to lowball it for the next year on a video card and get a 7850. I was holding out to see what the GTX 660 would offer. And while it looks like it's going to be a perfectly fine card, it's going to debut at $300. And, like, I know that that's... Well, okay, they're claiming $300. Mm. But given how availability works online, it's probably going to be a bit above $300. So I'm going to fucking lowball it. I'm going to get a 7850 because they're cheap. They're very overclockable. I know that the difference is only $50 to $100, but that $50 to $100 is a couple of more games or halfway to a solid state drive, you know, depending on what I get. It all counts cumulatively. So I have to be a little more careful about what I get. So I just, as much as I'm sure Fall of Cybertron would be great. I don't... No, dude. That's coming from Gamefly if it comes from anywhere.
Deadlight, the new arcade title.
Oh, yeah. I saw that was released. How is it?
Very much reminds me of the original Prince of Persia.
Okay.
It's 2D. It has the kind of... It kind of has, like, stuff going on back, kind of like Shadow Complex, but it's not anything you can interact with.
Sure.
It's just there for, like, okay, there's zombies over there. If I run past this area, they're going to come after me.
I gotcha.
And
It
looks interesting. Really good.
Yeah.
And it's, the bit I played through was very funny.
Tell me if you can, is this strictly an arcade release, or is this multi-platform?
I believe it is strictly an arcade release. Mm. Because it was published by Microsoft, so I'm 90% sure.
You're probably right then.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's Prince of Persia, and comes with, like, all the pros and cons of that there are, because there are situations where you reach a point where you, unless you do it, like, just right, you end up getting killed. Not that big a deal, because it starts you just a little ways back.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But there are definitely points where it's like, okay, I jump, crap, there's a trap set over there. Now I'm dead. Now let me do this so I don't hit that this time.
Map memorization?
A little bit. Not to a frustrating degree. For the most part, you can kind of wing it. But there are definitely points where it's like, well, I didn't see that before I hit it.
Sure. Dawnguard? Out of goddamned nowhere, days after they refused to make any comment about it whatsoever, they weren't going to reference the fact that the 30-day exclusivity went up. They were acting like, frankly, kind of like turds about, like, we'll talk to you about it when we fucking feel like talking to you about it. And then day one of QuakeCon, Dawnguard of the PC. I know we've talked a lot of times about how much fun it is to just be surprised with the thing you've always wanted, but this didn't really feel that way. This
was more like... It's kind of different when it's like... released on one thing, it's like, oh, I'm not going to talk about, you know, where, you know, a lot of our customer base is.
And then just sort of plop it out there unceremoniously at $20.
Yeah, I know.
Go fuck yourself.
That's why I was hesitant.
I'm not touching it. It got too many mediocre, lukewarm reviews, and it's $20.
Yeah, I will say I saw it was $20. I just wasn't sure what all was.
What are you watching?
Justify it.
Close the fucking video. We're watching it as a group when this is done. Why don't you behave like a member of a goddamn society for a second?
That's a shame. I was expecting for $20 to get, like, a decent size expansion.
Yeah, but it's apparently too little for too much, and the quality is a little So it can wait. I got other stuff on my plate. I got plenty out of Skyrim, so it's fine. I was just sort of hoping that it would... I wanted it real bad a month or two ago, and probably would have... So, yeah, I dealt with the $20, but...
I mean, depending on like how long we wait. I mean, Steam sale will probably have without
a doubt, it'll be for sale no later than November, December, something like that.
Yeah.
And I assure you, there is more to do between now and then than any of us have time and money for.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like it right now, but...
The floodgates are coming open.
Yeah.
If you're bored out of your skull for the rest of the weekend and you have a PC, Secret World is doing a free weekend.
I heard good things about that.
It was a little rough when I got into it pre-launch, like in one of the earlier beta phases. It was a little janky and strange, but it's one of those games that's adhering to the somewhat standard model of box price plus subscription, but for however much it may or may not turn me on, it is trying to do something a little bit different, so I think I'm probably going to sit there and drool through it tomorrow just to, you know, give it a fair shake, and because I played way too many fucking MMOs, apparently, and I just need to give at least a little bit of taste, but it's there, you know. The client's not too heavy or anything, so...
Okay.
Other than that... I don't know, man. I think that pretty much exhausts our time, except for one or two things I can't say on the show. But things I may or may not be playing. Other than that, yeah. I think that's us.
Look at that. A two-hour show. Who'd have thought?
Very nice.
Pretty good. It's a little more dense than usual.
Yeah. Anyway, that is it. Appreciate you guys listening, and we will talk to you, I guess, in 2 weeks. Should everything pan out?
Yep.
See you then.